Our New Testament lesson today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hear now the word of our Lord. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. That bears repeating. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. That would be the believers. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And that would be me and you. And this is the word of our Lord. As I discussed earlier with the children, we have on our coins and dollar bills and all of our currency, in God we trust. But the question is, do we really trust God? How much do you trust God? With what will you trust God? When do you not trust God? We are told to have faith in God. And many of us, if not most of us, in times of trouble have told a dear friend or relative, just put your trust in God. It's easy to say, But do we practice that? Do we truly put our trust in God? It's been said that there are far fewer unbelievers on their deathbed than at any other time in their life. As people realize that their time has come to an end, they are much more likely, even after a lifelong resistance to belief, to reach out, to cry out to God for mercy. But what does trusting God look like? Trusting God in times of great fear, in trauma, at times of great loss, can mean turning to God and giving thanks for what we have been given, and even giving God thanks for what's been taken away from us, for allowing us to have it as we did. Don't you recall the hymn, "It Is Well With My Heart," written by Horatio Spafford, who was a wealthy business person in Chicago, but lost all of his real estate holdings to the Great Fire in Chicago. He was a avid follower of the teaching of Dwight L. Moody, and he donated all that he could and helped. Even as speaking as an evangelist in the D.L. Moody evangelism crusades. But he had lost all that he had, all of his wealth, and he went back to work and rebuilt at least a large portion of his financial empire again after the fire, rebuilding and starting over. And so D.L. Moody beckoned him to come to him, to come to England with him for an evangelical trip and participate in that. And so Spafford decided that his whole family needed to, they had gone through this hardship of losing everything and having all the trauma of the fire, that they needed to get away. So they were going to sail to England to be with D.L. Moody. At the last moment, some business matter came up, and he stayed behind, and his wife and four daughters sailed off to England, and he would follow. The next thing he knew, he got a telegram from his wife telling him that all was lost. All four daughters had been killed in a shipwreck, had been drowned, and she only survived by holding on to a board. And as he sailed to catch up with his wife and to meet her and to share their loss and grief, the captain of the ship he was on pointed out where his daughters had been lost at sea. And he wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." That's trusting in God. That's putting your trust in God when it counts. And I pray that none of us will lose four of our children or people that we love all at once like that. Every one of us will lose people, and every one of us will have heartbreak, and every one of us will have times of great loss and suffering, a diagnosis that is crushing, a sudden death of a loved one, a heartbreaking unfaithfulness by someone we trusted. Everybody is going to have something. And it is time to turn to God and put our trust and faith in Him. Do we trust God's word to be true? Or do we leave it to open to interpretations of things that it doesn't literally say? That's a tough one. You know, the Constitution of the United States has a provision in it because they know that things change in government, things change in our lives. We came to understand that even though the founders of our nation were slave owners, that slavery is wrong. And the Constitution was amended to change so that it made slavery illegal. Although our Constitution was written by and upheld solely by men, we came to understand that women were equal and deserved equality in the vote and in all matters. And our Constitution was amended. And our Constitution has a process for an amendment. But the Bible says not a jot or a tittle will be changed. The Bible says, as an admonishment right at the end of Revelation, that anyone who changes these words will receive dire consequences, that they will receive the wrath of God. The Bible doesn't have an amendment process in it. So therefore, it is for us to trust the Word of God as the Word is given to us. Now, that doesn't mean that you should ever put your trust in Bill Barnett's opinion. That's dangerous. Don't do that. But you need to read the Word for yourself. You need to understand, see the Word, and see what it says, and understand with the help of the Holy Spirit. You need to trust the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. It is a blessing that before Jesus Christ was taken up into heaven, only a few and now and then would receive the Holy Spirit to guide them, and through prophecy to guide them through works that God wanted them to do to lead the people. But with the coming of the Holy Spirit, with the rising of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was made available to all who will believe and call upon the name of Jesus Christ and confess their sins and accept Him as Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit was given us. And do you trust the Holy Spirit? Do you trust the Holy Spirit in your life to guide you, to lead you? Do you rely on it, depend on it, put your faith in it? Do you trust the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit calls you to speak to someone about your faith in Jesus Christ, to give your testimony about the difference that Jesus Christ makes in your life, to share with them and be a witness to the resurrection and the living God? Do you trust in Jesus Christ? Do you trust in the Holy Spirit? The Scripture tells us things that seem to be in conflict sometimes. It says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." That is a favorite Bible quotation for unbelievers. They love that quotation. "Judge not that ye be not judged." But if you read the whole context of the Scripture, it is telling us that we are not able to know what's in another person's heart. We cannot know what is in another person's mind. And so therefore we're not to make a judgment on whether a person is saved or not. We're not to make a judgment about whether another person has a relationship with God or not. But the Bible goes on to tell us, "You will know them by their fruits." So we indeed are commanded to observe the fruits of people, what they do, what they produce, how they live. And if they're not living right, if they're using words that are ungodly, if they are encouraging others in sin, we are to judge that. We can judge their actions. We can judge their words. But we cannot ever dare to speak about what is in their hearts. We have to trust God to attend to that. Trusting God changes our lives. If we don't trust God, our lives will not be changed by God. If we don't trust God, we will not be able to serve God. If we don't trust God, we miss the joy. We go through life in fear. We go through life in uncertainty. We go through life with regrets. We go through life blaming others. We have to trust God to forgive us. And we have to trust God to allow us to forgive. If we go through life holding grudges, carrying blame, and denying that God can forgive even me, even the awful things that I have done, if we go through life like that, we're not trusting God. Trusting God results in forgiveness. Trusting God results in knowing that when we have prayed to God and asked for His forgiveness, knowing beyond any doubt that in the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. My friends, I would encourage you to, if you don't already, to make it a practice over the coming weeks to question yourself about, are you trusting God in what's going on in your life? Throughout your day, catch yourself and say, am I trusting God in this? Am I looking for God's will? Am I following God's will? Do I trust Him enough for that? Don't wait for a catastrophe. Don't wait for a trauma. Don't wait for a major loss. Trust God in the little everyday things in your life. And you will find the joy. You will find the peace that can only come through trusting God. Amen.